morning, hello, football fans. Are you ready for week 7? We are here in not Studio 66. It's our mobile home here.
Your home.
Yeah, it's my home.
It's your home.
Yes, we're broadcasting from my living room, or at least I'd like you to believe that we are. We hope you're ready for week 7. We're going to help get you ready
for it.
Wife
decorated the place, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
exactly. You like her what she did display. With it, though?
Yeah.
Are those her shoes?
I was like, why the cleats on the wall? I don't know, but that's what she wanted.
That's
anyway, this is not entertaining.
You know what they say, happy wife, happy life.
Yep. That's why I went with
exactly
it. That's why I went with it.
Do you normally sit around at home wearing these things that you kindly gave us?
Yeah, when we're I'm a big gamer.
Yeah.
You know, my life is gaming. When I'm not talking football,
sure.
it's just all...
Exactly right.
What is it?
Mario Kart.
War, God of War.
God of War. Yeah, I played
that
one.
That's a video game.
Yep.
Call of Duty.
Yep.
Hey, let's talk about
Lethal
football,
weapon.
Shall we? I don't have time for those jive games. It's time to talk about the great game of pro football. Hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Damaschek football program, presented as always by our pals at Zaxby's, home of the famous chicken fingers, wings, and salads. Go get you some of those. Big stuff going on in Nashville, Tennessee. We visited one of the Zaxby's franchises in Nashville, and big changes. Just as we foretold, we said... What was it, Eddie Spaghetti? Did I not say that by mid-October, Ryan Tannehill would be the starter in Tennessee? And right on schedule, he
Here
is now
are.
Marcus
Zannehill, he should call himself.
Oh, good idea.
I like that. Yeah, nice tie-in
but,
there.
You know, he could have been Marcus Zariota, too.
Well, that didn't work.
No, it did not.
Maybe
he should have.
Maybe he should, exactly.
He'd still
Money,
be the
let's not live life in the rearview mirrors. Let's look ahead, shall we?
Am I going to Zaxby's? Yeah, of course I am.
Oh, yeah, when you going? This weekend, right?
Yeah, we get in late Friday, so if there's one close, you know, close by, I will forego the Charger catering and hit up a Zaxby's on Friday night.
Oh, send us pictures and make us jealous as all get out.
I'm going to pull back the curtain here real quick because your whole team of producers is scrambling right now. They're freaking out that I'm trying to get my ears right. We have these new headsets, and they're not working at all. And I just
oh, they're
like
not working?
Everyone back there is like, something, the show has already started at it level, and it keeps getting really quiet in my ears, and it's just, it's been a bit of a
How we doing over there, everybody?
Thus far.
Spaghetti, speak
but,
for the gang. Thumbs up, I'm
they've
seeing.
They've got their thumbs but, yeah. up, but if I was sitting back there, I would have
my thumb would not be up. I'd walk right out. I would walk out of the studio.
Yeah, but, the powers that be wanted to make the change to the headsets, so now we're trying to figure out.
Who are the powers that be? Who are you protecting, Eddie?
I'm gonna look.
Name names.
Come on, whatever.
You know what? I wanted the change.
We'll
it was
get
me.
In trouble
because I do the audio.
Eddie, don't take a bullet for someone else. They would not do that. It's getting worse.
Now it's getting quiet again.
Getting
now
worse.
All of a sudden, everybody's turned down our volume.
It's got worse.
Whomever the powers that be are, I was gonna say something. I'll
we
just say,
are
may their deodorant cake and their armpits itch for the rest of the day. There you go. that's all I
want
to wish upon them.
I wonder if somebody wished a pox on me because, let me just tell you, I hate to pat myself on the back, but I am a trooper. Not unlike Michael Jordan back in, what was that, 97 in Utah when he went out there with the flu.
With the flu,
and
played, yeah, the flu
the
game.
The flu game. Damaschek, nay, the entire home, felled by the stomach flu. Round about Monday night, I thought it might have something to do with Trey Flowers.
So why are you here?
Round.
Why are you here right
to
now?
Your house.
Because I'm done. I'm clean now.
BS, you're clean.
I'm worried about Eddie Spaghetti, who was with me on Monday, but by the doctor's account.
He does look a little peaky.
By
little
the
sweaty.
Doctor's account, though, everybody's free and clear now. We're well past
this is not
contagious.
Okay.
Wait, it was Monday. Today's
this
Wednesday.
This is not okay, by the way. This
is a little after
the show should not be happening.
A
right
little
now.
After a couple of phantom calls against Trey Flowers, I took ill. And
I'm sorry I ruined your shot, and I'm now out of the frame. But
I
cannot.
Don't care.
I am not contagious.
Please, hey.
Yeah, go ahead. There you go. That's.
Yeah, gonna,
have you got
gonna
any wanna, of that?
The antibacterial stuff,
cleaning stuff.
Yeah.
By the way, we're bathed in blue here today. All shades of blue. We're fine. Don't worry. I don't want you guys getting distracted.
I am distracted.
I am
now.
Distracted too.
Stomach flu because it will wreck a house. It wrecks homes. That's what it does. When you have children, it's a vicious circle. You get over it, then your one child gets it. Then they get over it, then the next child gets it. And then it comes back to you 2 weeks later, and you're sitting right here.
Let me tell you something.
I don't like it.
It is rare when you can be lucid enough to say this, and I said this late last night after the fever had finally broken for everybody.
Oh,
and it hit
fever.
Everybody. It hit everybody at the exact same time.
Oh.
I mean, vomiting from the, you know, at 3 a.m.
How many bathrooms are there in this joint?
From the little one. Listen, the little one is the little one's like, oh, I got to throw up. I got to. What do you want from me? I do too. Go leave me alone. Deal with your own business.
And you're here. Like this is not you doing Michael Jordan.
I am not
you
contagious.
You don't have to be here today. Eddie could have been sitting in contagious. That seat. Hank and I would have still been here.
You're not doctors. I'm not contagious.
Nor are
anymore.
You.
I've met
quickly,
a couple.
What's funny? What's funny about it is all day yesterday. After a while of Dave not responding, he wasn't tweeting either. I was like, oh no, I'm bothering. I hope something like really terrible hasn't happened.
Well,
and
it
then
did.
He finally got back to him that he has a stomach flu, and I was like, oh, so he's going to be out for the show.
Wait a minute, yesterday?
Yeah.
This isn't Monday.
What?
We're not talking about yesterday.
Wait,
it happened at like midnight. So
how
it's
are
way
you better?
Too close.
This is not good at all. By the way,
I'm going to miss Yankee games
just
now.
Because,
this is terrible.
Because it's full disclosure, I also have a cold, which I picked up on my flight back from London.
Oh, no.
And my throat is gone. And
I am
I'm
the
a
meat
stuffed
of
up.
This sickened
but
sandwich.
But I have not vomited for at least 36 hours.
Now we can look forward to fans of the Chargers when they tune in to the radio and listen to Matt Money Smith's
this
call.
Is Matt Money Smith.
He will be the Michael Jordan of Sunday's game from Tennessee. You're not going to get anything from me. Maybe Handsome's cold. I
no,
can't
don't
promise
don't try
you
and lay
on
this
that.
On me. I'm fine, but you're...
I just broke off half of a protein bar, and I was eating it, putting it in my mouth with my hands, and not... Oh, son of a gun.
But let me tell you something. It's interesting, or I found it interesting, that at the end of it, I could pronounce yesterday to be one of the five worst days of my life. My entire life was yesterday.
This is what we've all got to look forward to
and
on
you're
Thursday.
Here. And you're here.
That's right.
Like, you're here right
Dave,
now.
That, it's irresponsible.
I'm not Jalen Ramsey. I'm the bad backer. No, I'm playing, coach. You know?
Do we have any of those masks
yeah,
that
like
the
a
folks
mask.
Walk around
all
with?
Right, the show is off the rails.
Swine flu mask for me.
We're already off
I'm
the rails
double up
here.
This is
let's
horrible.
See, let's
can I just quickly, can I put a button on this?
You may.
Do yourself a favor. And look, I appreciate it. We here in America, we like to work. It is part of our identity.
We do?
If you are felled by a sickness, don't go to work. Just stay. Just take that extra day. Stay home that one extra day just to make sure you don't wreck the rest of the workforce. Take a day.
I am 100% with you, Money.
But
I have been assured by medical professionals that I am not
in your house.
When did you see a medical? If you spent the whole day vomiting.
But what about me and Cole Wright on Monday?
Now, that's another story. I didn't know that I was sick. I didn't know that's when I was contagious, was before it kicked in. The people I'm worried about are Eddie Spaghetti.
Now he's here.
But when did you see a doctor?
Doctor came over. It's a brand new...
The doctor had to come to your house.
Well, we couldn't drive to the doctor.
Oh, my God.
You couldn't last 10 minutes without...
Oh, no. Oh, no, no.
Purging yourself.
No. No, the doctor came over. And this.
And what did he say, or she say?
He said, you're not contagious anymore. You're not contagious at this point.
Just
now
you.
All of us, yeah.
What is the state of the Damashek family as of, at this moment, 11:08 a.m., Wednesday, October 16th? Is
spry, feeling good, feeling lucky
everyone.
To be alive.
Across
who
the
was
board.
The last one to explode from either end?
I think it was probably me.
Oh, no.
But I haven't listened. Can we move on? But one more thing.
I'm interested in this.
Just to make you feel better, I have not purged since about 9 a.m. Tuesday.
Today.
No, I wouldn't be here if I was
Tuesday.
9 a.m. Tuesday.
9 a.m. Tuesday.
So what did you do? So did you sit around and watch a movie together? What did the family do yesterday? It's probably a bit sweaty. Mm-hmm. How did you spend the day together?
Lazing about and with, you know, just... It's you feel terrible because the little ones feel terrible.
Yeah.
And they
they're
want
kind of
something.
Sweet then, though, aren't they?
Yeah, but no, not really when you also are sick. Like,
right.
Dad, what about, like, I don't have time for nonsense. I'm sick too, kid. Deal with your own business, you know?
Deal with your own business.
See me? I'm not feeling good either. All right, let's get into pro football.
Sorry.
Boy, oh boy, I got the headsets. I got the flu. It's an inauspicious start to the DDFP today, that's for sure.
Let's jump into, because it is time now for Fresh Takes, presented as always by Zaxby's. Again, you know what I'm going to say. The home of the famous chicken fingers, wings, and salads.
Salads.
And big trades, a couple of big trades went down on Tuesday. I wasn't aware of them. legitimately until this morning because
really?
The aforementioned plague that struck my home. But now I'm
knocked the power out. I couldn't check the internet.
That's right.
That's dark.
I did try to deal. Spaghetti mentioned that we were texting a little bit and during the day. I did it for about 4 minutes and got so nauseated that I
just looking at your phone.
Just looking at looking at. I just couldn't handle it.
What day do you fly?
Friday.
Oh, you're good. That's nothing worse than being like that on a plane.
I would never intentionally jeopardize your health. Eddie Spaghetti's the one who's going to go down and go down soon.
After you hosted him at Dignity Health Field,
I did not host him.
You're going to lose your dignity and health on a plane with the charges.
I need to make it abundantly clear, I did not host Dave.
Let's get into it. The question,
I did not.
Our fresh take for
that
today.
That is an important clarification to make. I did not host him.
Which preseason Super Bowl pick or playoff, a playoff contender that a lot of people, the majority of experts would have said, this team has a chance to win its division and therefore be a Super Bowl contender. Now in relatively dire straits, which one of these teams, if any, can get back on track? And let's start with the team that just acquired perhaps the best shutdown corner in pro football. At least I think he was considered that going into the 2019 season. Jalen Ramsey, now of the LA Rams. The Rams sitting now behind two teams, which I say is a real problem for them, both with a loss to both of those teams ahead of them, the 49ers and Seahawks. Can the Rams get back into this thing? Money, I start with you.
I don't know if you've flashed all four teams on the screen for those watching it, but based on this quartet, that would be the only one.
Okay, I'll read them off. Rams, Falcons, Chargers, Steelers. If you want to throw anyone else into that mix who people seemed high on.
I'll abstain from the Charger talk. But as far as I think the Rams, just because their schedule gets very favorable here. You know, it's Falcons and Bengals are their next two. Love the acquisition of Peters. If I had to pick any, I'd pick none. I don't think any of them. But
you don't think the Rams?
Yeah, it depends.
No.
Well, it depends what
can
getting
steal
back
a wild card here.
Not with that offensive line.
Nope.
Not with the way Jared Goff has been playing behind that offensive line. Not with a lack of a running game that Sean McVay's fancy offense was predicated upon being successful to then get his passing game successful. I think we're seeing a major issue for this team because it's been a precipitous drop for Andrew Whitworth. Jared Goff looks terrible when he's moved off his spot. I mean, he's typically an accurate quarterback. He's been one of the most inaccurate quarterbacks. What we saw against the Niners, I think, is just disastrous if they can't get that front five figured out in front of them and they got to keep running two tight ends. And Goff just doesn't look comfortable.
I agree. I mean, it depends what you mean by back on track. I think that the Rams
can get back into the conversation
in December,
but not Super Bowl.
I'm talking about it. Do they reach January?
No, none of these teams will reach January.
Well, Falcons hosting the Rams. We'll get into that one with the red challenge flag picks coming up. The Chargers traveling out to Tennessee. The thing that really it feels to me, I'm off the top of my head, I can't cite a number of examples of this, but it feels to me like in 2019 that these Titans, and even going back to last year, the thing with them is they win games that they shouldn't and they lose games that they shouldn't. And hosting the Chargers, I bet you the majority of people will be saying, oh, the Chargers, they have to right the ship here now. They're a Super Bowl contender. They have to go into Nashville and take care of business. This is the kind of game that the Titans could conceivably win, especially as banged up. And the brand that is the Chargers and what we know them to be, and a team that a lot of people going into Foxborough in the divisional round a year ago said they have they might be the one team in the AFC that can dethrone these Patriots and so on. They're in tatters. Again, the football gods are just wreaking havoc on poor Phil Rivers, not taking 17 down, but all the pieces around him. You saw that again on Sunday night. The Steelers, I will say about them that, and tying it back to the Trey Flowers call, the bad calls, and there are two examples now with the officiating, and to go back to unfortunately recurring theme in 2019, Minshew mania or whatever other storyline you want to talk about, all take a back seat so far this year to the officiating. It stinks that 6 weeks into the NFL season, the number one storyline you would probably have to say is the lousy officiating and its impact on games.
I'm not with you on that.
Really?
No, I just think, look, I think we live, and I'm not trying to make some grand statement here. That's not what I'm doing. I'm just saying I think we consume football on TV more than ever now, and the advancements in technology make that viewing experience one in which we are constantly second-guessing a group of individuals that don't have the tools that we have. We have one 150th per second, frame by frame, look at these four blades of grass between a completion. Like, I get it. I totally get that. Illegal hands to the face in real time from an umpire when you see a hand right next to a face and Bakhtiari kicking his head back. Is it the right call? No, but do I understand it? Yeah. And now we have, instead of just a handful of sports radio outlets and columnists and letters to the sports page, social media, where everyone goes to
real
bitch
time
and moan about their team losing and why they lost. And I'm over it. I'm totally over
really?
It. Yes.
Good
completely.
For you. I sincerely, if you can look past that, but legitimately, the answer to what you're saying is bridge the gap then. It's ridiculous that.
Yeah. My thing is stop showing it.
No. Don't stop showing it. Show it to the guys who can change the call on the field.
But then you have to do that every single play. Every single play, you're going to be able to find a hole.
You don't think that eyes in the sky can be saying to the official, that's a bad call, you should reverse that in the moment? The problem is that when it goes to New York, it still is getting that's where it really is bad. Is so, when they send it up to New York to take a look at it, they're still getting the calls wrong. That's what's crazy about it.
And I think it's because in New York they're saying, if we do this, we have to do this for every play.
That is the issue.
Every single play has to be officiated this way. Shaquille O'Neal is fouled on every play. You can't call it every play. There is holding on every play. You can't call it on
what
every play.
What there is PI on every play.
There's
and they
PI
have
on
to...
every play. What Here's what I would do. One, and I don't want to take credit for this. We had a conversation on the radio show with Mike Pereira yesterday, and he was bringing up the points in the way I asked him the question was me leading him to my position, and he agreed, but I think they're all his points. One, penalties are too punitive. You got to stop with the 10 yards for holding.
I've been saying that for a decade now. Yes.
And I think everybody has. Right. It's like it's the dumbest thing. Illegal hands to the face, a new set of downs. You get an automatic first down for that?
Right.
No, stop. PI, you can't do spot falls anymore. Do the college 15 yards, unless it is egregious and you tackle a guy, then it can be a spot foul.
I agree with this completely.
Like, that's how you fix it. You don't fix it by going to Twitter and just getting this Twitter mob, which, by the way, is not real life. Twitter is not real life. That's not how things happen. You don't legislate via social media. You air your frustrations, everyone overreacts, and 18 hours later, we're on to the next thing. I hate it. What has to happen is adjusting penalties and somehow accepting that the technology that we have in our living rooms is not what the officials have. It's not
but
even
you
close.
But you can see the irony in that. That we schnooks sitting in front of our TV are better informed than the people that are officiating the game standing
yes.
on the field. That's
low.
And
there's
logo.
No way,
there's
no way to correct
that gap
it.
Is feels to me like a necessity and one that's absolutely a realistic goal to achieve. That you should be able to figure out how to wire in from on high, from the eye in the sky, and say that's a bad call. Reverse that.
But David, the other issue is completely at odds with the league's. First of all, yes, it has to be fixed, and I think some of the ideas that money has there are fantastic ones. But it's at odds with the league's other goal of making the games more watchable, shorter, more accessible to younger fans. It is exhausting. Every three plays, spending 3 minutes looking at officials talking to each other while they talk to someone in New York who gives them ultimately something which may or may not be the right answer. That is a terrible viewing experience, and it's
I completely agree with that.
People aren't going to stick with that.
I think people need.
So if you give them the technology, it just encourages even more of that.
Right.
I think there's a way to streamline that. That is my point. It doesn't have
but
to.
But what
be
do you do
clunky.
About missed calls?
Well, that's my issue
that's
with 2019.
What I mean. So, like, now what do we do?
The overcorrection is the issue this season, that it all sorts of – the snowball starts with the missed call in the Rams-Saints title game
right.
last year, and that was a missed call. This year, there are two I can point to off the top of my head because they impact the standings significantly at this point. One, the Lions should be – by percentage points in first place right now. They should have won that game in Detroit if not for the hands to the face against Trey Flowers, they'd be 3-1-1.
The one in Green Bay, this last one.
In Green Bay, they would have been. They would now be percentage points ahead of the Vikings and Packers, and it's just in a rugged division. It's going to be hard to ever for them to overcome a road win that they should have had that was taken away from them.
Do we really believe that they would have definitely won that
game?
That's
the other thing, too. We don't
people
know
are conflating
sure.
that. I'm not sure I necessarily
that one
buy that.
They kicked five field goals.
Right.
And I mean, it's like, fair. Score one more touchdown.
Lamar Jackson, the roughing the passer in Heinz Field, were it not for that missed, I mean, a flag thrown that shouldn't have been
but
thrown.
But that's a subjective call. Like, now if you have a sky judge that tells a referee, hey, that's not roughing the passer, and the referee on the field's like, yeah, it is. Like, that's now a subjective call that you're going to have a debate? That doesn't happen like that.
Let's do it American Idol style. Everybody votes in real time. So you have 15 seconds, America.
I mean, that's what I mean. Everybody thinks there's like there is no easy fix. I think the best fix is stop. Just stop.
Here's the other subject I wanted to talk about in Fresh Takes is what do we make about? I was there on Sunday night and had a ball, and great thanks to the fellas over there with the Los Angeles Chargers for showing my 10-year-old boy.
Not money.
My 10-year-old Jean-Claude Van Damischek had the time of his life.
Good.
Getting down on the sidelines, it was heaven. Then we went up to the seats, and I mean, I knew it was going to be Steelers heavy, but it was legit 80% Steelers fans. And then this led to a lot of people around the country saying, see, LA can't have football, or they put the wrong teams there, or whatever. And I happened to catch you and Petros, Matt Money Smith, of course. I didn't say it at the top, but make sure you listen to some of the best insights you'll hear in sports radio on the Petros and Money Show. Track it down on iHeartRadio. And I feel like it's on. I heard you guys talking about it on Monday. And I feel like it's a little unfair as usual to LA as a sports town. There was no NFL football here for two decades.
A quarter century.
So, of course, people went in other directions and latched onto other teams. Never mind the fact, I'm not ignoring the fact that a lot of people, it's a transient city, and so people moved to Los Angeles with their preceding loyalties. So those things combine to make it as the, and here's the other thing, this is not Charlotte or Las Vegas or sort of a burgeoning sports town that is validated by getting a major sports franchise placed into it. This is Los Angeles, the second biggest market in the country. And beyond that, I feel like it's unfair to LA on this level. I went to, in January of 2006, I went to the Steelers at Broncos title game in Denver, one of the great fan bases, allegedly, and deservedly in Denver. And that place was at least 20%. This was the title game for the Super Bowl. And that place was at least 20% Pittsburgh. How many Dallas fans were at the Jets game on Sunday? It's a certain percentage of those people are going to inhabit. There are certain fan bases that are going to override local loyalties. And that is with the Jets having never left town, let alone for two decades. So I think that this all rights itself to some degree by 2020, once they move into the fancy stadium and a higher percentage of season tickets are sold for both the Rams and Chargers. But that will always be a phenomenon, not unlike you saw in New York City this weekend with the Cowboys. There are certain fan bases that travel, and people get sideways with the literal travel thing. It's not as though the people in the stands in Carson, California, were all Pittsburgh residents at one time or another. I heard a lot of, let's go Steelers, let's go. Well, that is not something that ever happens in Heinz Field. Those are Angelinos taking their chance and applying them to Pittsburgh because the brand has traveled and it's successful, and there's a certain percentage of front runners in our society that latch onto the successful teams. Bottom line, I don't think this is a tear. I think it's overstated that this is bad for L.A. or a bad look for the NFL. The seats are filled. It's like, is it a bad look in London when everybody when you see a jersey for all 32 teams? No, it's a different experience.
So I've got sort of two ideas.
Sorry for
this.
Rambling.
That's
there.
Okay.
But
so I got two ideas on this. One is you kind of already laid that foundation, which is teams are not going to come to Los Angeles to a Laker and a Dodger town and all of a sudden be able to compete for those dollars.
Or USC.
You know, it's but you know what? At least, like, USC is more similar to the Rams and the Chargers, where when they're good, it's awesome in this town for USC football. When they're not good, people will leave. You know, they'll come and go. The Dodgers and the Lakers, they're going. Whether they're good or they're bad, those places are going to be packed. Those fan bases are rabid. They are, you know, for lack of a better term, winning recession-proof. If they're not winning, they're still going to get it. SC's got to win. UCLA basketball has to win. The Chargers have to win. The Rams have to win. And they're going to have to do it at a historic rate if they want to flip allegiances, as you mentioned. Two, I don't know why so many people care. Actually, that's not true. I do know why so many people care. Because, and this is going to sound super arrogant, but I can say it because I'm a transplant and I grew up in a major city that's a very proud sports city, the city of Chicago. They love their teams. This is the best city in America, and it's not even close. It's not even close. So all of these people that hold their sporting ties, like Eddie to New York and you to Pittsburgh and me when I first got here to Chicago, we feel the need to puff our chest out and say, oh, L.A., it's a terrible city, because we know how great of a city it is. And it's the one thing that you can try to take a swing at them on, and that's fine. You're going to do it. But guess what? Your city's still not as good as this. It's still the best city, and that's why so many people from so many major places. I don't care about
New York. Are people applauding?
I don't care. Like, I am so tired of New Yorkers at Yankee games when they come to play the Angels telling me how bad, and I'll say my city. I've been here for almost 30 years. It's my city. It's where I raised my kids. Hey, F you, leave, because you are still here 20 years later because you know what I know. This is the best place. There is nothing that compares to it. So you want to drag us down and tear us down because you see a Rams stadium that's full of Niner fans and a Charger stadium that's full of Steeler fans? Fine. It's natural because there's so many of you that live here now and won't leave because you know how great
of
a place it is.
That's the twist of it is. Right.
That's what's happened.
The
so
reason
guess what?
It
it's,
happens
it's our
is,
gift to right. you. The Rams and the Chargers have – and that's the other part of this that I don't get. Like, if you're a Raider fan and you're like, hey, Chargers, go home. We don't want you here. Why wouldn't you want them here? You get a home Raider game every True. Year in your backyard because they're in the division.
Of
you
course,
get to
that's
drive
the takeaway.
Be thankful they're
What a
here.
Treat it is, and a singular one that you really wouldn't experience in most any other sports town. For me, I mean, why? There are plenty of Chargers fans. People say there's no Rams fans.
There were 30,000 at the Rams
there's
game
no
last
reason,
year.
There's no reason, right, in the competition for tickets. When there is a ticket, a single game ticket available, who's going to win that fight? Me with a once in a half decade or decade to come and see my team play where I live now? Who's going to get that ticket? Right. Or like, I can wait till next week when the Chargers play another right. team. Of course, the fans who
it's
only
all
get
secondary market.
Of course,
it's 100% secondary.
But once the season tickets start to sell, you'll start to yeah. see it diminish a little bit.
And I mean, just on. When it can be good, I went to that Chiefs Rams game on Monday night last year, right. which was moved back from Mexico City because of the state of the field there. It was in the aftermath of the fires that had just taken place.
And the shootings.
And it, you know, LA went out. And that was one of the best atmospheres I've ever had at an NFL game.
It can happen.
It can happen. Yeah. It's not that the people aren't there. Exactly to your point, if I'm, Chargers not doing great right now, if I'm a Steelers fan, I get to see the Steelers in my hometown in L.A. once every 5-6 years. I'm going to go out and do everything I can to get a ticket.
And look, I don't have to defend the Rams. There's plenty of people in the media here that feel the need to do that day in and day out. But there are literally millions, well, maybe not millions, but I would say at least 1 million 49er fans in Southern California
right.
based on their dynastic run of the 80s when those people were kids and the Rams or the Raiders weren't their cup of tea. They became Niner fans. So when their team is undefeated and it's a huge game and there's a bunch of tickets available at the Coliseum, you're going to go. You're going to go. To think that they're not here is foolish. It's a great NFL market. It's just not necessarily a market that's dedicated to the Rams and Chargers.
Of course
right
not.
Now.
And once you get, and by the way, the Dodgers, as you say, they and the Lakers may be kings right now
yeah.
of Los Angeles. When they were about to play Game 5 in the NLDS last week, I didn't walk through the halls and be and get stopped by anybody to talk. What do you think is going to happen tonight? In more provincial towns where everybody roots for the same team, you cannot take a step without somebody say, well, where are you watching the game tonight? Where are you going to be for this one? It's just not the way it is out here because of the nature of the town and the transience of it and everything else. Handsome, let's move on to something else. I'm curious. Let's get an update on two fan bases, the Giants in just a second. The Dolphins, though, first. I don't think we as a society are talking nearly enough about the best efforts of the Dolphins front office to just blow the season.
Why not?
And throw out all that high-end young talent in the name of getting Tua, I gather. And they still, a two-point conversion away, they could have blown it. They could have.
But they didn't, Dave. But they didn't.
If they had blown that, Handsome.
The play.
If they score that two-point conversion, there you could make a case that is not a big leap to say that then the Skins, who are head-to-head with them, and by the way, the Skins will do what what the Cardinals did with Josh Rosen a year ago. If Tua is there for them, they will move on from Dwayne Haskins, ship him somewhere else, and use that pick. So don't think, well, they already have Haskins.
Yeah, they're not committed.
So they're going to do that.
That's fine.
And then if the Bengals find themselves ahead of them a little bit, then they'll get Justin Herbert, I'm guessing. And then the Dolphins, for all this nonsense, are going to be in the same boat, except that they'll be much poorer in terms of talent than they
but
were before.
But Dave, that's a wonderful little scenario you just dreamed up, but there's no way the Dolphins aren't going to have the first overall pick. They lost that game. They had to replace the starting quarterback who they made a commitment to for the rest of the season a week earlier. They replaced him three quarters into the game with someone who wasn't able to complete a simple screen pass to a guy who then dropped it, who would have been tackled for a loss even if he had caught it on the two-point conversion. And now they've gone back to Ryan Fitzpatrick as the starter 10 days after committing to Josh Rosen for the rest of the season. The Dolphins have no chance of winning a single game this season. It's not going to happen.
Well, they have a chance.
If they didn't beat the Redskins, they were two and a half yards from disproving that. That doesn't matter. They didn't. They did disprove it. If it didn't happen against the Redskins, I don't know where it's going to happen. They play the Bengals in Week 13. Man for man, if you look down that roster, I mean, that's tank ball too.
So here's what I would ask. Like, there are certain games where you can, 2.5 yards short, maybe manufacture something if you want to claim that. But you know what that fan base, what's maybe
I'm not suggesting, by the way, they meant to not succeed.
I'm just saying, like, you really think they can lose games to the Jets? That rivalry, if the Jets start trading away,
believe that, like, you think Adam Gase, I mean, if anyone's motivated
to
prove the Dolphins wrong.
But I'm saying, like, if you
and
think
he's welcome
if they start to move some pieces, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they did. They have depth on the defensive line. They know they're not going to the playoffs this year. They got to revamp that entire O-line. They need talent at the outside skill positions. Like, I can see them starting to ship off some pieces.
That's
and
fine.
And that to be
a They'd
much
have to
more
ship off a lot of pieces to
come
be.
Come on.
You I'm
it's
deadly
so
serious.
It's so hard to lose 16 games, all six. It is very hard.
I agree with that. I think that that's
it is
the
very,
bottom line.
I'm with you there, but I don't.
All you need is, not all you need, but if you get a kick return and then the quarterback on the other team fumbles the ball and your guy scoops it up, like, that's how you win a game. That's how you fluke your way into a victory. You saw that with Pittsburgh against
but
the
I think
Chargers
it
on
is
Sunday
one,
night. Things just went weird, and all of a sudden it was 14-0. You're like, "What? Oh, the Steelers really might win this game."
But is one? I mean, one game is not. You know, one game, fine. You're still in the hunt for Tua. That's not. They might win one game. They do not have the talent.
I just think.
Or
I just
anything.
Think. I think it would be remarkable.
I guess
if
the
they
question
played
is,
themselves
they,
out of
put it this
it,
way.
And if the football but gods,
what have you
the
seen from
gods,
them? What have you seen from them to suggest that?
I don't. I'm not going to torment myself by right. watching too much Dolphins football. But I think that the football gods would like for that to happen, so it dissuades anybody from ever tanking again.
I would probably trade Kenyon Drake. I would make sure I get him out because he does have his moments.
He could,
where
he could
looks like
a,
he can
could,
do some damage.
He could cause problems.
He can carry a drive.
I mean, they
a
sat
bit.
Xavien Howard.
Yeah,
they sat him. A week after the bye week, after having played the week before with an injury,
I'd probably trade him.
Probably I'd rather
again, he could get a pick. He's in the conversation.
You understand how insane this has gotten, though. This
yes,
was insane.
Of course I do.
When
Dave,
they
I'm
traded
not, I'm
Minka,
not supportive of this.
When they traded Tunsil and then Minka, that was crazy. Because yes, we understand buy, you're desperate to get the first overall pick, but at the cost, I mean, at some point it crosses the line. You're going to have nobody to play with the guy.
I don't necessarily. I think that they. I don't think they intended to trade Laremy Tunsil, but the offer that they got for him was too good.
That's some mistake.
No, but they didn't go. They did. They've admitted they were not out there looking for a trade partner for Laremy Tunsil. The offer kept getting better and better, and then even Laremy Tunsil, I believe, walked into the GM's office, said, "What did you get for me?" and was like, "Well, I probably would have made that trade myself." And then with Minka, I just don't think Minka was good. I think it would have been a situation a little bit like we saw with Jalen Ramsey until yesterday,
where he wanted out
and they got the Steelers. And by the way, that looks like a decent trade if the Steelers carry on the path that they've been on for the last few weeks.
Right.
So I'm not worried about any of those things. I think that they'll get value back again. I just, again, as a fan, I've been saying it since February or March when it first came to light what they were doing. I'm not engaging. I have not watched. I still haven't seen the play that they lost on this week. I have not watched on purpose a second of Dolphins football.
If you did want to go the conspiracy theorist route, that would.
I would also say, when you see
that play, it feels like run the play that has no chance of working.
You would probably have to fall all the way to three because they do have two additional ones. So if you're at two and another team's at one, and you're like, hey, we're going to move up one spot. Here you go. Here's the Texans pick or here's the Steelers pick.
Now we got two in Christian Wilkins and nothing else. Weird moves.
Look, again, the biggest issue for me is they've still got the same guy that got them in this hole making the picks for them. That's the obstacle I see.
Okay, before we get into the red challenge flag picks, how are we doing on time?
Are we about halfway through now? Can I say, if we were actual football players, I feel like the issue with my headset now, I would have left the game. I'd be in a blue tent and just, I'd be as in.
Did you get the Spanish?
Okay? What?
Did you get the Spanish, too?
I've had some Spanish. I've had some crackling.
You got Spanish?
Oh, yeah. When you were discussing, I don't remember what it was, but for about a minute straight, I had a man speaking Spanish, and right now I just have the beehive.
We're working on that.
We got the beehive. But I feel like this is...
Eddie wants to wear it, but
People aren't going to recognize this as one of the greatest shows we've ever done, but given the adversity we're going through
we're
right now, this is
an
incredible performance.
The last
I was sick.
And we're playing
Money's
through this.
Money's going to be sick. Spaghetti could vomit
great. We're all gonna
any
get sick.
Second here.
I feel great.
Speaking of spaghetti, quickly, I wanted to touch on the Giants because you had a great quote that I wanted to make sure our pals Money and Handsome got to experience here. I assume they already heard it by listening back to Monday's DDFP. But on the off case you didn't, here's what Spaghetti said about Eli Manning's Hall of Fame candidacy and what would happen if Eli doesn't wind up with a gold jacket.
By the way, though, I'm giving both of them votes.
No, it's fine. But I think that I don't want to besmirch people's names who just got in the Pro Football Hall of Fame's class. But it's like when you look back, and I agree, I think that Phil Rivers should be in it. When you look back, Rivers should be in it. Eli should be in it for what they have accomplished. When you look back at the whole NFL, this is the NFL 100 season, looking at all the great moments. Like, if you don't have Eli in for winning two Super Bowls in the fashions that he did, you're just doing a disservice to fans and league overall.
Well, as far as that goes...
You're going a little too far with that.
I don't know.
Disservice to the fans and the league overall.
Let's
take it easy on that. I mean, I don't think there's fans that are going to be in Utah.
Wait a second, oh my goodness, spaghetti.
I can't believe they didn't put Eli Manning in.
That is rich. You're doing a disservice to the league, to the fans,
to America,
to the game. That's as good as it's been, Eddie, I gotta say.
Yeah, I think that conversation basically was about, it was focused on Phil Rivers, mm-hmm. and Dave said something about I don't know if it was if he won something or like if all things are considered equal between him and I was just saying like how I think Rivers stat wise should be in because he's that good. I think Eli not as good of stats as Phil Rivers, but I think moments or historic kind of plays or games in this league matters. And you know, two Super Bowl MVPs and good enough stats I think should be in. And I was kind of comparing it to like Moore and Anderson or like guards or centers who got in the Hall of Fame. It's like who in their right minds like, oh, I need those guys in, but Eli shouldn't be in. To me, it doesn't add up. That's just my take.
It wasn't. Spaghetti's point. I understood the spirit of it, but it was, why would you put a kicker in there and not Eli Manning? It's because the kicker is one of the three best in history at the position.
And I guess you have to, but I get what he's saying. Like if you go to Canton, are you like, hey, I got to go find that Morton Anderson bust. Where is it?
Sure.
Point me. You know,
the
and,
offensive
and it's,
lineman
and
is
and it's
the
for
one.
Him, and it's, you know, whatever. They should be celebrated and enshrined, but at the same time.
Wait, were you about to make a case for offensive linemen not being in the Hall of Fame?
No,
as well?
I'm not making a case. I get why it's not terribly exciting. That's my point. That's all. It's the same thing as in whether it's a position to need or not. But in spring, if your first round draft pick is a guard, it kind of – listen, no Colts fan is now wringing their hands about Quentin Nelson, but it still feels vaguely unsatisfying. Like, yeah, I thought it would be exciting. You know, we want – I'm not – obviously. It's just
can
not sexy.
Can I read a string of Eddie Spaghetti tweets?
I'd like that very much.
Here we go.
Here we go. This is 22 hours ago.
He's very upset about the Yankees
prior
right
to
now.
First pitch of Game 3 between the Yanks and the Astros in the Bronx. Welcome to hell, boys. Here we go. I made that up. From the pregame, it sounds like the Yankees shouldn't even bother today with Garrett Cole pitching. Okay, so that, Jose Altuve is the person I hate most in sports.
That's true. That is so accurate.
He's a little fella.
I cannot stand him.
Again, first pitch is not even fired off yet. John Smoltz has clearly not gotten over those Yankees-Braves series. Jesus!
You've turned in my old man, Spaghetti. Yeah. My old man could never watch a Steelers game or could never go 5 minutes into a game when Bob Trumpy was calling the game. He clearly hates the Steelers because he was on the Bengals. Why do they allow this?
Yeah, you're right, Dad. Here we go. Now the game is underway, and it is not going the Yanks' way. All right? Tweeting during the game. Well, I guess changing the baseball for the playoffs has helped the Yankees, too. Sense a little sarcasm there. Mm-hmm. Slow bleed out. This game is killing me. And now, here we go, the last one. Ready? Game over. Bats are dead. Bullpen being chewed up.
That was as bad as it gets, that game.
So good. Night.
I will say that about Smoltz, though. Smoltz, it's made, like, news and, like, on Reddit. I'm just saying people are talking.
Reddit?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's made Reddit news.
But if you go on r/MLB and you have people saying, like, yeah, he's
You know what else made Reddit, Eddie? Storm in Area 51. That's what else made Reddit.
Look, all I'm saying is I'm the only one with that opinion. People are talking about it. That Smoltz is a little biased. But
I admire Spaghetti showing up in Yanks season here. He's got the Evan Ingram Giants
jersey. Look at his hat.
On,
look at
he's
his
got
head.
The Capo Caco special New York Rangers
so good.
Hat on. I love it, Spaghetti.
I'm leaning into it. I got to dress for the occasion.
So. I admire the loyalty. All right, let's get into it now. The Red Challenge flag picks for week 7.
Red Challenge flag picks.
I didn't hear the whole gang singing back there, but that's all right. We'll move along for time's sake. And we'll start it off here. We talked about
Hey, Dave,
about
can I ask you a question, first of all? You know how we do these every week? There's no accountability at all.
No.
Like
what do you mean?
Apart from the nice guy, Andrew Raby, who does a great job of keeping track, we sit down every week.
We should flash it on the
screen. We need some accountability
and
for how each of us are doing.
I love it.
Because if I were people watching this, I would not listen to a couple of you guys. I mean,
why? You think you're doing well?
How about
are
all
you
three?
Doing better than
I'm
you're
doing a
terrible
lot better
too.
Than, oh,
really?
Wait a second.
But
as
I always say every football season, I am Neo, standing on top of the skyscraper, not able to fly a helicopter until I wire back to wherever and say, I need to learn how to fly a helicopter. Then, like, the first 6 weeks or so of the season, boop, 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 uploaded, now ready to go. Now I know how to fly a helicopter. This is the week it starts. Week 7, the picks are gold.
In that case, can we start accountability from next week with a pick total for the previous week and overall?
So be it.
Yeah?
I love it.
Could you ask one of the 19 people sitting back there to make that happen?
I think you've just asked them yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Handsome.
I guess I did.
You got juice. All right. Let's start it off with this one.
I think it was a rhetorical question.
I
really,
love it. And if you want to start,
it was an insult.
If you want to start doing non-monetary wagers, we can do that. Like, want to bet everybody bet their shoes this week? What?
Not these shoes.
Not these shoes.
Do you like your sweet Vans there, Money?
Yeah.
I like them.
I like Money's Vans, actually. I'd take them.
Absolutely.
What
I'm
size are you?
I'm not as keen on Hansoms.
These
that
are
in between
11s.
Buck shoe slash sneaker thing, that caught on about 8-10 years ago in our society. I'm not that hip on it.
Okay.
You know? Like
I don't
either,
like
either
your
wear
shoes either, Dave.
Wear
Screw
sneakers,
you.
Wear sneakers or wear, business casual.
What are you wearing?
What are you doing? You're in between.
What are you doing?
I'm wearing sneakers.
No, you're not.
Sneakers.
Those are not sneakers.
As much as I may not like the trend of the sneaker buck shoe, I got to say, the cowboy shirt with the snaps from 30 years ago.
What are you talking
also,
about?
Also not a trend that I was a
That's
big
That's my
fan
look.
Of.
That's my look, friend. Look, congratulations. Big laughs from the game. Big laughs.
You started it. You started it.
I didn't go at you, Johnny Golf Shirt.
No, you didn't. But I just got excited when you went at somebody.
Well. What did you just call you Johnny Golf Shirt?
Hope he hits him well out on the links.
Can I actually ask a favor? And this is, I'm being serious now. Can you not throw the challenge flag? Just with your sickness and everything.
Yeah.
I prefer you just like wave it in the air and go, I'm throwing the flag. I'm throwing the flag.
Well, maybe Ooh. I'll blow my nose into it and then, then throw toss it away.
Great.
All right, let's start it off here. We talked about these two teams as teams that a lot of people
Presented
thought
by Clorox.
Could go as far as a Super Bowl this year. It's the Rams and it's the Falcons in Atlanta. And the Falcons are 1-5. I knew it would be grim to start the season. I foretold that the Falcons would start out poorly, but then rally in the second half of the season because of the way their schedule set up. I did not see them being 1-5, though. Matt Money Smith, Rams, Falcons. Choose.
Who are you choosing? I'll just pick the same so you don't do
I am going to go with.
I'll take the Rams.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Throw it at your fancy
you.
Shoes.
Oh, you're taking
there.
The Falcons.
I'm going with there the Falcons. Go. I have a hunch that they right this ship. The season is probably over for the Falcons, but they can get back on track-ish if they get to 2-5 with, as I keep pointing out, their second half schedule is loaded up with NFC South games. And so were they to catch fire and win the vast majority of those, they could steal the division. That's looking less and less likely with Drew Brees' return imminent and the Saints flying high. But still, that could happen, and I don't think that Jalen Ramsey fixes what ails Los Angeles more. Like you say, the pass defense is one thing. The offensive line is another. It's in tatters. They haven't been able to rush the passer to the Falcons, but maybe this is a game to get right. I'm going to take the home team on a hunch here.
I would say if you can't get right as a pass rush against the Cardinals offensive line and a rookie throws for 350 and three touchdowns against you, ain't going to happen against the Rams. Hmm. That would be my only concern. If it last week was their get right game, if they were going to get back into it, because the Cards O-line is probably the worst, at least it's in the conversation, is the worst in football. And Kyler Murray was able to do pretty much whatever he wanted. So it's kind of how I felt about him last week and having not seen it. I mean, there were guys wide open all over that field.
Yeah, but Kyler Murray is different than Jared Goff.
Certainly.
Jared
he can
Goff
extend plays and
pressure,
you're right.
He's not going to be able to do anything about that. And I know that there are plenty of excuses. I've talked with
Maurice. That's fair.
We talked to Maurice Jones-Drew about it, or I talked to him on Monday a little bit just about what ails these Rams and whether or not they can jump back in. This is pre-Jalen Ramsey, pre-devastating illness in my home. But from what I can remember from the conversation.
The two are one and the same.
He said, it's not Jared Goff. I said, you don't think Les Snead is quietly having some regret? You don't think he's saying, maybe we jumped the gun. We could have waited on that Goff contract till the end of this year. And Maurice swears up and down that that is not the case. But, I mean,
100% they, the case.
I mean, just all of the stuff they've got. They have Goff obviously signed. They've got Gurley on that contract, which also looks regrettable now. You've got to sign. You've got Aaron Donald signed. You've got to sign Ramsey to a long-term contract. I don't know how you build the rest of the depth, especially on the offensive line.
Yeah, it's a major.
With
the
all
distinction
of those commitments
is,
you have.
The difference seems to be that everybody thinks Bill O'Brien, the Texans, gave away the future for the now. Well, they're in line to win a division. We'll get to that game in just a second here, but they're shaping up to be a contender for that division. The Rams giving up the future. Now, two first-round picks to get Jalen Ramsey is fine, but Jalen Ramsey could walk after this year. So then they'd really, I mean, if they don't make that one go, they don't keep Ramsey long-term, they've really.
Which they will. I mean, it was the same. And
look, I get
I'll
it.
Give them credit for that. They did it with Brandon Cooks. You know, now you got to pay him. And they did, you know, and that seems to be their MO.
Well, they're going to have to.
It's 36 for Jared. It's 25 for Donald. I think it's 17 for Gurley, 16 for Cooks. And I would say Ramsey is probably going to come in right around that 21, 22 with the signing bonus because you got Landon, the safety, who got 84 from the Redskins, and you got Xavier, who got 75. He's going to probably want more than Collins got to be the number one paid defensive back in the league, and that would lead me to believe that you're looking at five players, and I think you hit it on the head when it's you don't have first-round draft picks, and you desperately need to fix that offensive
line.
Well,
but the part that I was getting to about that was that everybody condemned Bill O'Brien because they don't like Bill O'Brien
right.
as a head coach, which
I'd rather
may
have
or
the
may
left
not
tackle.
Be fair. But the other – well, the other thing is about paying Jalen Ramsey. They do need to go out and get a left tackle, whether it's in the draft
right.
or otherwise. But now they're hamstrung about the quality that they can draft at that position. It's unlikely you're going to land them in the second or third round. So you're going to have to spend for him, but you're already going to be spending on Ramsey, plus you're into Gurley. Even if you outright release him, he's still on the books, and he's going to cost you something in 2020, plus Goff, plus everybody else. And then it begs the question, and I don't want to jump the gun on this one. You know, it's a little unfair to Sean McVay, but did everybody jump the gun on the Sean McVay?
No.
Zach Taylor? I mean,
I'm not talking. I'm talking about McVay. I think everybody in the league, unless you have Bill Belichick or I don't know who else, I think you would take McVay. I think certainly you saw those passes when you were talking about the Rams. Everett's open. Woods is open. Middle of the field, I think it was Reynolds was open. Goff's just missing because
Goff,
of the O-line.
But
I mean,
Goff is his direct choice. He controls him like a robot.
He was already here.
He's not Russell Wilson. He is as much a robot as a QB can be, which is to say Sean McVay is in his ear until the 15-second mark of every play. He's telling him exactly what to do, and the kid just is not executing.
I don't know if you could put that on McVay, though, like because he was already here. Goff
right.
was already here, and I think if McVay goes into Snead
could have just
says,
said, like, I think we should wait
but
on
then,
this
but
and
how
see
do
how
you do that? How, if you're
like,
building,
no,
if you're building not, a Super Bowl, when he, how are you going to do that when you're picking 25 and back?
I think
you're not going to find someone that's
I'll round it
than
up
that.
Here with this. I feel like 2020, for all the movement that we see in-season trades, we see trades just before the season gets going now, a lot of free agent movement. I think 2020 could be the all-time off-season for QB movement. Consider Cam Newton could move, Derek Carr could move, Jameis Winston. I don't think Ben Roethlisberger will move at
but
this point, but it's conceivable
Phillip Rivers
that he might
move
on. Dak
Eli
Prescott
Manning.
Dak isn't settled yet. There are a lot of
Eli Manning can't move.
Literally.
Not literally.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
He can move teams.
He can move his teams. Right arm periodically, yeah. Not terribly effectively. Yeah. But
I don't appreciate that.
He's a Hall of Famer, and it would be an injustice to society as we know it. Spaghetti, you have any weigh in on this one? Rams, Falcons?
My pick would just be the Rams. It's a good get right mentally game for Goff versus a soft Falcons defense.
Maybe it's Daryl Henderson's big, big breakout game, but the fumble is what scuttled their chances against the Niners, although that was a weird pitch play, too. Next up, Vikings and Lions. Lions looking good. They'd be looking even better, like I say, in first place, were it not for some crummy officiating there. Vikings look like they're getting right, or Kirk Cousins specifically has gotten right in the last couple of weeks. Vikings, I mean, the Lions defense, though. Looking a lot better than it had in previous seasons. Vikes, Lions, Handsome Hank, choose.
This is a tough one. I'm going to go with the Lions.
Ooh, fun.
I'll throw it.
Okay.
Whatever yeah. happened to the old...
I'll throw it.
You're going to take the Vikes?
I am, yeah. I shouldn't, but I'm going to because whatever.
Because you're a good sport.
Exactly. I think it's that close. I mean, I'm totally comfortable taking them.
Yeah, I'll stay with Handsome here. I'll take the Lions here. Money, go ahead and explain.
Just
yourself,
you know, you have a full complement of offensive weapons. You can just lean on Dalvin Cook. You saw what Jamal Williams was able to do against the Lions defense, open things up for Aaron Rodgers. I'm not trying to discount what Aaron Rodgers is capable of doing at that position, but you know, it was a balanced offensive attack when Williams came in, and that's when you saw them start to move the ball effectively down the field. So I think because you have the passing options that you have arguably one of the three best backs in the league right now, you can stay balanced and not have to worry too much about Darius Slay taking away either Thielen or Stephon Diggs and still put some points up. And also, you know, I like their defense. You know, I love that Vikings defense at all three levels.
The other thing is, well, Kirk Cousins has looked better here. He's another QB who could move. And, you know,
right.
Nick Foles would be kind of the ideal fit for Minnesota.
Now, let's stop trying to force Nick Foles into situations.
Well, I don't think he's going to be hanging around Duval County with the Minshew mania going on.
That's
down
fine.
There.
But, I mean, he's not better than Kirk Cousins, is he? Do we really think that?
Comparable. I mean, he's won a Super Bowl. He's played huge in big games, something Cousins has struggled with.
Yeah, it's unfortunately, funny. it's the 16 little games
exactly.
that lead up to the
The way
big
you
games.
Say that, Handsome, it's like, well, yeah, you're right. He's not. But, yeah, I guess he.
I know,
guess
but,
Nick,
I mean, you look
Nick
at yeah, in, that,
than,
in that situation, if you have Kirk Cousins, again, if you've got him there, don't you want an upgrade rather than someone who's just about as good
right.
as?
I think that's the problem is where's your upgrade? It's yes. so hard to find that upgrade.
Right. So in that case, know? why not just continue?
Is it Jameis? Is it Mariota? Is it, you know,
it's
when
not
you Jameis, that's what I mean.
It's not
Mariota. So you probably settle in on, yeah, we'll just take Kirk with all of his flaws. Yeah.
Well, again, we're going to get to the Eagles and Cowboys, yeah. but you want to talk about another QB. Is Dak Prescott, who 3 weeks in everybody was over the moon for.
Sure.
Now, once again, people are talking about Dak as being a liability on that team. I don't buy that. I'm still on the Dak train, and I still think the Cowboys are a good team, but we shall see. But Spaghetti there.
I'm with money. I'm going to the Vikings.
I could go that way, too. I don't know why I said Lions, but okay.
Well, can I just, on the Lions, talking about quarterbacks, Matt Stafford's season, and he's been playing better than I think he's played for 3 or 4 years, seems to have gone completely under the radar, or maybe I just haven't been hearing about it. But, you know, Stafford was a guy that we all had high hopes for when he came into the league. He's had moments. This is the first time where he's just shown that he can be consistently good without, like,
I agree.
The sort of the massive plays. Then, you know, but his mechanics always just annoyed me. He was consistently throwing off his back foot or getting himself into weird situations and then throwing a pick. This year, he just looks like a quarterback who's doing things the way that it should be done.
The comp for him has always been for me is Jay Cutler, that he's going to go down as uber-talented.
He's looking a lot less
never.
Jay Cutler-y.
I think now you can say Matt Stafford's career is superior to Jay Cutler's. Maybe that's damning with faint praise, but I think that Stafford at this
he's
point.
He's that tricky one, you know. He's I think it's lazy probably for me to do it, but it's, you know, the giant arm of Jeff George. And when it was right, man, you watch him throw that ball around. You're like, okay, I get it. Now I can see why
he's
the number one pick.
And they do both have that very casual sidearm
flick
kind
it
of
and it's
thing,
gone.
Yeah.
So, you know, arm talent. It can do things for you.
Okay, two diametrically opposed teams based on Andrew Luck's retirement. And we said coming into this season that the curveball in the defense-dominant AFC conference could be the Texans with the high-octane offense like the Chiefs. Those are the two teams that splash offensively versus defensively. Going into Indianapolis, coming off the bye, you'll recall both the last two victories for these two teams in Arrowhead. Something that nobody thought would happen maybe even once in the regular season. Now we've seen it 2 weeks in a row here. Texans at Colts. Matt Money Smith, choose.
Oh, boy.
Why don't you ever have to choose?
I can choose this one. I chose the first one.
His way. I don't want to
no,
touch
we can throw
flag
these. It might help him.
Oh, the disinfectant rags?
Yeah, let's do that the rest of the way. I didn't put two and two together. Choose. Throwing disinfectant rags. Okay. Go ahead. You want me to choose
this one?
Yeah, you choose.
I'm going to go with the Indianapolis Colts in this one, even though I like the Texans so much.
You know what? I want the Colts, but I want to throw the rag at him.
Throw it at him. Also, I mean, he just needs it anyway. I wasn't necessarily throwing it because I disagree with him. Yeah. I was just throwing it so he could disinfect himself.
Out of need, out of human necessity. I appreciate that, Handsome. So I got the Colts, and you guys are both taking the Texans. Spaghetti,
indeed.
How say you?
I'm going Texans on the road.
Really?
Yeah.
Three guys taking the Texans.
I wanted to take the Colts, but you took them. I wanted to throw the disinfectant away.
I mean, you know, talk about prisoner of the moment and all that, but, I mean, you know, it's 2 weeks removed. They've had their feet up resting since that gangbusters performance in Arrowhead. But I just don't know. Now that they already knew it in theory and in some experience, but now make us stop. Hey, defense, whoever we're playing. Stop us from running over the right side of our line. What are you going to do to stop us from doing that? That is the basis of everything that we're going to do from now on is until you stop us from doing that, I don't think that it's not an indictment of the Texans. I don't know any team in the NFL that's going to be able to stand up to that.
I think the reason you take the Texans is Deshaun Watson and you believing that a quarterback playing at an MVP level who can make a legitimate case to be the MVP of the league can overcome any obstacle. And I think with what did they give the ball to Carlos Hyde? I mean, it was crazy last week. It was like 30 times.
30, 32.
So you can also play that same sort of smash. I mean, look, Laremy Tunsil has changed everything. He is worth those two number ones. He'll be worth the however $100 million that he gets, because it's also allowed, you know, Sharping and Howard to get in on that line, and you have this like youth movement now that's playing so much better. And that's really, it felt like all that team needed for that offense to get right. I'm still concerned about the secondary. Their linebackers are just okay, which is a little disconcerting if Marlon Mack starts breaking through that first level, where he could end up having, you know, a day similar to the one he had against the Chargers, where he piles up 200 rushing yards. And I think that's kind of where you're coming from. Just keep running it right, and then next thing you know, you're starting to run some play action, and Ebron gets involved, and the Colts can take the air out of the football, you know, and win a game 19-13. And I wouldn't be all that surprised by that, but it just, I don't know, it feels like we're in that Deshaun Watson took that step moment, and he's just going to continue until he proves that he's not.
I kind of agree, and I'm not buying into all the skepticism about Bill O'Brien, the head coach, but if you do buy that the coaches have outsized influence in 2019 versus preceding years, then Frank Reich versus Bill O'Brien favors Indianapolis, and so I'll roll with the Colts there. Saints at Bears, an old whatever reason when I see that one on the page, it always makes me think of the Reggie Bush loss up in Chicago against Rex Grossman. This time it's going to be Teddy B against Mitch Trubisky, or
I think he's back. They said he's got some sort of shoulder harness thing on, and he's likely to play.
Good news,
I guess.
For the Saints.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, uninspired in either direction, and that's another team that might have a new QB for 2020. The Chicago Bears, if things
continue, I think they have to stick with Mitch for another year.
Do you?
Yeah.
Not if they miss the playoffs.
Yeah. Definitely.
I think they definitely do.
I mean, if Ryan Pace is still the GM, I mean, you passed. Not only did you pass on Mahomes and Watson, but you traded up to get the guy.
Maybe
you
Dwayne
actually
Haskins.
Gave up draft equity.
Oof. What about Dwayne Haskins?
Nah. They ain't doing that yet.
All right. Saints, Bears, Handsome Hank, choose.
I'm going to take the Saints on the road.
I'm going to agree.
Saints. Money
Come on,
calls.
Eddie threw it.
Throw it my way.
Money calls. You throwing that one money? Spaghetti.
Eddie threw it, yeah.
I'm taking the Bears at home. I still don't buy into Teddy B. Bears just had a bye. And if Teddy B is going to falter in one game before Breeze comes back, it's going to be against the Bears defense. Simple as that.
Well, as far as that goes, Money said last week, and I was listening to you speak there, Money, as usual. I was tuned into your words. And you didn't say that the Saints have a great defense or one of the better defenses. You said they have the best defense in the NFL.
I think so.
And if that's the case, you would think that they could go in and handle Mitch Trubisky and company,
that's
even coming off
You'd
the bye.
So. The Raiders did it.
Raiders did it with a pretty average defense. Well, they did it against Chase Daniel. But remember, the Bears are hurt, too. I mean, they just lost Hicks, right, for the year. So now you've lost a major part
Kyle
of the interior
Long
of that line. Now you got an interior offensive line out. You know, Khalil Mack certainly can wreck a game. I mean, there's no question about it. He can. And he can, you know, create turnovers. And I totally get that idea. Like, you know, Eddie was just saying that this, you know, Teddy B against that Bears defense, and that's where you think about that Jacksonville game, right, and how tight it was. And it's in Chicago, not indoors. But at the same time, I just have zero faith in Mitch Trubisky against that defense. And I think that's where you get the Saints.
I hear you. I'm going to go with the Bears in this one because I think that Alvin Kamara, high ankle sprain, that's the offense remains predicated on 41, as great as Michael Thomas is. I think that if Kamara is a no-go, and our best guess is here is it sounds like he probably won't run out there, then I'll take the home team in that one. Ravens at Seahawks, fascinating one here. Marcus Peters now the Ravens. I think he helps that team, but he's not a fix necessarily for what ails them. They're not as rugged up front as they have been in preceding seasons. That's what I think is going to ultimately take down this Ravens team, although they're on track now to win the division. I think the Browns can still get them, though, as dire as things seem.
Yeah, their
Cleveland.
Schedule is so easy on the back end.
Seahawks at home, though, handling Lamar Jackson. Matt Money Smith, choose.
I choose the Seahawks comfortably.
Comfortably.
I think this is going to be one of. Oh, sorry.
Well, I'm definitely choosing the Seahawks. I don't know about
Spaghetti.
The comfortably, but it'll be.
Oh, so let you finish, Handsome. Totally Seahawks MVP, Russell Wilson, and why pick against him at home either? Right. It's easy.
The kryptonite for Lamar Jackson's offense is good defenses, which sounds dumb, but legitimately, it is not. There are few indications that if you're a talented defense that Lamar Jackson's going to take you down. I don't know where you come down on the Seahawks defense, though, at this point, but at home against another mediocre defense in Baltimore, I think that Russell Wilson, in his MVP quest, gets over on this one, and they get to 6-1, thereby further decreasing the Rams' chances of getting to the postseason.
Unanimous.
Let's round it out here. Eagles at Cowboys.
Ooh.
Always weird when these two teams play. Philly at Dallas, handsome choose.
I want to say Cowboys. I'm going to say Cowboys.
Oh.
I'll throw
explain
it.
You. I'm going to go with the home team here.
Oh, I
don't know.
This
one
is, at me too.
The sky is going to be falling in one of our great sports towns come
for
Sunday
sure.
night.
Yeah,
for this.
It lines for me. Do I start?
You go, Mike.
Okay,
you
so
go.
I just think it lines up with injuries poorly for the Cowboys. You know, offensive line issues, defensive line strength for the Eagles. Downfield passing is their weakness. Amari Cooper's banged up, and I don't know if Gallup is really that guy. And with an offensive line issue, I don't know if Dak can, you know, is comfortable. You saw it in that Jets game. I mean, the guy just got tattooed the whole game, and the Eagles' defensive front is better. And again, what do we watch? You know, for those of you that are watching, we're checking out like a 90 whatever 3-yard pass from Darnold to Robbie Anderson. I think Wentz can probably find a couple of those. Now, granted, he's banged up in his receiving core as well, but to me, it lines up poorly for the Cowboys based on what the strengths are, offensive line, defensive line of the Eagles in this particular game.
Let's round this up here. It's nice of Handsome to stick his neck out and say nice things in a world of so much cynicism and negativity. Handsome says nice things about Matt Stafford, but there has been very little discussion about Carson Wentz this year. In fact, I was watching Inside the NFL in my haze late last night, and they listed off all the cute. Here's why the NFL is in good shape, even when Drew Brees and Tom Brady and the '04 QB class all moves off into the sunset. Because look at all these good young QBs. They listed 10 QBs. Carson Wentz wasn't even on
really?
The list.
That's weird.
For that. Now, that's not
an oversight.
Some
it was clearly an oversight.
Well, it's not science. But still, Carson Wentz has kind of slipped through the cracks. And if the Eagles lose this game and fall to 3-4, and Eddie Spaghetti making his noise about the Giants, and he legitimately – Spaghetti, you think that your team still has a chance?
Yeah, I mean, obviously with both teams losing last week and then the Giants –
Saquon's back.
Saquon's back. Giants get the Cardinals. The defense is not great, and I think Jones playing with Saquon, Jones playing with Evan Ingram, who looks like he's going to play as well. Sterling Shepard practiced today, although I'm not sure if he's going to play, but that's still a good sign.
What I'm saying is it's all lining up.
They can get
it's all lining up
I
for
mean,
Big Blue.
One of these teams that are playing that's playing what is the Sunday night game will have 4 wins. Giants have, you know, if they win this game, have 3 wins, so they are, you know, 1 game away. But ultimately, do I think they're going to be a playoff team? No, but they'll be in it for a couple more weeks, I think.
It's going to be bad for whoever loses this game down in
you
Big E. And
you
if Dallas loses it with Philly, I mean, the Philly thing is starting to get to be this team should not be 3-3 at this point. Just I don't care what got them to 3-3. This is a loaded.
I mean, a drop pass in the end zone. If they're 4-2, we're fine. I mean, the Vikings, the Vikings lined up perfectly with their weakness. You know, the deep passing game with both Thielen and Diggs just streaking down the field wide open on multiple plays, and that's the difference in the game.
Yeah,
you know, and the Cowboys just don't have that.
Yeah, and one of these teams, again, is going to be 3-4.
Right, and
you know,
freaking out.
Yeah, just up
it's gonna be great.
Right up against the halfway point in the NFL season. All right, fellas, gangbusters job here. I appreciate you bearing with me as we
I appreciate you coming in.
I did. I'm not contagious. And if you get sick, then I don't know what. But I'll pay for
contagious.
The chicken soup. I don't think I am.
It's too easy.
Handsome Hank, Matt Money Smith, Eddie Spaghetti, the whole gang back there. We appreciate it. We'll be back with our twice weekly audio podcasts plus this video show. Check it all out. NFL.com/DDFP. And until next time, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.